It's 4:45 and time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan with us in studio. Hello, sir.
Hello. So, come on, guys out there. Call in. We got this. You and me, we got this. We're going to get you to see the great Stephen Tobolowsky.
942-6200. TV show he appeared in with Jane Lynch, some Leah person, Darren Criss.
Some Leah person.
And many more. There was singing. There was dancing.
It was a very happy show.
Happy, joyful kind of show.
Chris, if you're late, come on. No, we're not eligible. Well, we already have a ticket. So hi, everybody. So it's our election day special. It's a sort of a different feel of an election day for everybody out there. I wrote about this on my Facebook. There's nothing greater than a local, just purely local election. The feeling that emanates from people is just so good. They still feel like they're, you know, I'm voting. It matters. There's a lot of, you know, you get to see the candidates. I got hugged today.
Nice.
Yeah. It wasn't by Ben Sprague. I was a little sad. He just gave me the hearty handshake. But
you know, when you vote in an election like this, that your vote counts more than ever. It carries just so much more weight.
It feels good. But man, this, like, really, like, it you can feel it's like a warm wave of the people coming up the stairs of the Civic Center. And you're like, yeah, civic duty.
America.
But the best way. It's like, democracy still does matter. So
yeah, with the good stuff, with people who are right here in town that you know, that are all trying to do their best to help.
It's actually difficult. I mean, I know, except for I think one of the candidates, I knew everybody for the city council, and it was like, okay, well now I actually have to like weigh pros and cons. And my wife and I, you know, this morning in the bathroom as we're, you know, scrubbing off and shaving off and whatever, or maybe not because you're doing November, but yeah, it was good, and it's a great feeling. So yay democracy! I don't believe I need to be a champion for that in these days, but what the hell? So we're talking about South America, and today I'm going to kind of do an overview of South America, and then we're going to hit Argentina, not literally, of course, but then we are going to hit the bottle via Argentina. And we have already sampled our sample wine for today, and everybody in the studio seems well pleased. It seems like it's been a fitting pairing to Bob's Meatballs. Boy, they're doing some good job, good work up there. I'm very, very impressed and very happy for them. Perhaps I should recommend this wine to them. I always kind of start this segment, introducing you all by way of saying that. Which continent is second to Europe in wine production? And I think most people would probably guess it's North America, but it's not. It's South America, and by quite a bit. And of course, a lot of the South American wine scene was brought to them by waves of immigrants that came over from Europe for varying reasons, lots of reasons, many, many sides. One of the chief ones for people of the vine was, of course, the huge phylloxera outbreaks and other vine-related diseases, but especially the phylloxera outbreaks in the 1800s. A massive amount came with the intention of growing grapes. I mean, I think it's not that it wasn't a panicked exodus. There were people that were like, okay, we've got a problem here, but we're going to take clippings, we're going to take with us the wine making knowledge. But what ended up happening is that most of the wine ended up for the better part until, you know, maybe 25 years ago really is when this kind of started, and really only in earnest probably about 15 years ago. So most of the wine stayed where it was made. So it gives you a good indication, A, there's a lot of people in South America, and B, they liked their wine, because if they're the world's second leading producer of wine, and most of it stayed in country until less than a half century ago, or less than a quarter of a century ago, rather, they were drinking a lot of wine. And they were making some interesting wines, wines that for us in North America are very accessible, sometimes very familiar, and sometimes very afamiliar. The wine that we'll be drinking from Chile will feature the Pais grape, or also known as the Mission grape, which was one of the first, basically the first commercially successful grape planted, brought over by these waves of immigrants. But today we're not going to be talking about that because we are indeed talking about Argentina, where the Mission grape fell out of favor because I think in Argentina they were really they definitely had a mindset of let's start to make some good wines, some wines that would be respected back home. And one of the chief grapes, of course, the chief grape of Argentina is the Malbec grape, brought over from the region of Cahors and Bordeaux. So we're talking, again, this sort of mid-Atlantic type of climate, which essentially matches up beautifully down in Argentina. But what is different about Argentina, especially where it's planted sort of in the shadow of the Andes Mountains, is that it's extremely hot summers. It's very harsh winters. Most of the best grapes are planted up on the mountainside to benefit from that. Why is that a benefit? Because you don't have to worry about things like mildew, which is hugely problematic. If anybody has ever been in the mid-Atlantic region of North America, my home, you know, New Jersey, Virginia, the swamps of Virginia in summer, it's not pleasant. It's damp. And that is not so good for preventing mildew and other fungal problems in grapes. So actually, the Catena family, I'm sure a lot of you have heard of the Catena family. They were one of the first that started planting these grapes, not so much down in the fertile area where they could yield a lot, but up in the mountains and taking advantage of that. Also very good drainage. So there's, again, it's just really, really wonderful for vine roots. Not so great for other things, but that's great because that means the vines are not taking up any, you know, really nice fallible land. So that's kind of the thing. The only serious exporting, again, started in the late 90s, 2000, starting actually with Chile. That was more mass-produced, inexpensive supermarket wines. But then Argentina really jumped out. Because of a lot of investment, especially in the late 90s, early 2000s, from a new wave of European investment. So a lot of these wineries are indeed owned by Europeans, now second generation perhaps. But that's where the money came from. That's where the winemaking skill came from. And boy, is the skill there. It really is. So the wine we're drinking today is indeed from near the city of Mendoza. So Mendoza, again, it sits in the shadow of the Andes Mountains, and all around it there are different sub regions. Just like any other serious wine growing community that recognizes that this valley is different than this valley is different than this valley, and perhaps the northern end of the valley is different than the southern end because of what sort of soil deposits are there, things like that. So this is actually a very interesting thing. This is a subregion about 2 kilometers south of Mendoza called Vistalba within the greater Luan de Coyo subregion. And this is the winery Vistalba. It is the only winery within this subregion, which actually is paralleled in California. Interestingly enough, there is the Chalon Winery, which is in the Chalon AVA, the American Viticulture Area, the only winery within that. This is the only winery within this specific sub-region. They have about 50 acres under plants, not a lot, but they make really, really good wine. They do have some other labels that they source, but this is their hyper biodynamic estate. They still farm. They call it traditionally, right? And for a lot of people, it's groundbreaking, but they are biodynamic. They use goat manure. They plow. They stir the soil to get a lot of oxygen into the soil and encourage, microbial growth and things like that that contribute to an overall healthy estate. Their wine show it. So the wine we're drinking today, they make 3 levels of the Vistalba line, and they're all blends, primarily of Malbec and Cabernet Sauvignon. This one also, and I think they all do, have a little of the grape Bonarda, which is another grape that you do find sometimes in Italy. There's some discussion as to whether or not it's the same grape genetically. I'm sure somebody will do their enological doctoral thesis on it someday. But regardless, it's a grape that is designed to give a little sort of dark berry fruit, blueberry, and it's wonderful. 12 months in oak, just absolutely fantastic. And it's this one is their Corte C, so this is their entry level, and I love it hard. I have loved it for years. It's one of our best sellers. It's $16. Every time you drink it, every time you pop that bottle, it tastes like a better wine than $16. You will impress people with it. You will impress yourself with it. So I can't recommend it highly enough. And it is a good wine night. So if anybody's in the, and it's also chilly.
Yeah.
And it's a good red wine night. So if anybody's on their way home in 4 minutes, swing by the shop, get some, because it's really fantastic.
One of the best we've had on the segment.
Yeah.
So good.
That was delicious.
Wow.
I love stuff like that. I mean, it's just so important. I only have a moment left to talk to you all. I look forward, hopefully, to seeing many of you at the Harvest Festival at the Cross Center this weekend. We will have a booth in the beverage area, so please swing by. We'll be taking pre-orders for the beverages that you're having there, less the spirits, but those can be acquired also locally. And on Sunday at 1 p.m. on the festival stage there at the Harvest Festival, I will be doing a... I believe they've dubbed it acquiring wine like a pro, but essentially it's my wine 101 condensed, which is, you know, tasting wine, buying wine, not feeling intimidated when you go into a store to buy wine speech, and there will be wine served. So if nothing else, you've got that going for you.
Fantastic.
Mm. All right. And then also the 16th of this month, our in-store tasting, it'll be also awesome, featuring the lovely Julia from Nappy Distributors.
And Turkey Day wine.
Turkey Day.
Woo.
We're doing it.
Fantastic.
You got family coming.
Yeah.
You're going to need the wine.
Mm-hmm.
You know it.
Before
know
and it. After. Oh. And definitely during.
Well, during. Absolutely.
Thanks,
cheers.
Eric. Eric, me and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle.